If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to 1 Chronicles 29. This morning I'm actually doing something that I've never done before. Each year since we started the church, around this time of year, we do what we call our kind of our annual business meeting within our service. It's where I kind of take some time to share about our finances from the past year and kind of where we're going in the future. So in the past, when I've done this, I usually take my time to talk about that stuff, and then I wrap things up, and then I move on and I speak my message. But this year, as I mentioned, I'm going to do things a little bit different. This year, I just felt led by the Lord to combine these things. And so my message and my financial report really today are going to go hand in hand. And one of the things that the Lord has kind of put on my heart about Dallas Four Square Church is that we would always be a teaching church. That as the leadership makes decisions, as we do things as a church, that we would always be able to teach why we do these things. You see, we don't want to be a church that just does things to do things or because everybody else is doing them, or we have no explanation or reason why we do them, right? We are a church that does things because we feel, one, God's called us to do them, or two, because they're biblical and we want to walk in the obedience of the Lord. And so this morning, I want to talk about the finances of our church and the reality that whatever we have is really the Lord's. And so my main focus this morning is on giving. Why we believe in giving as a church, because we do, and you'll see that later in our report. And why I really believe that all of us should be people who give. Not just our finances, but of our time and of our resources and of other things and our gifts that God gives us. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 through 17. So a nice little chunk of scripture this morning. This is what it says starting in verse 1. It says, "Then King David said to the whole assembly, 'My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure, this palace that they're building, is not for man, but for the Lord God.'" Or actually, I should say a temple. I said palace, I meant temple. That they're building is for the Lord God. "With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver work, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stones and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the building, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?' Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And who had precious stone, or any who had precious stones, gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced in the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and it all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." A lot of words here, but some good, powerful scripture. When King David, who wrote this, when he recorded these words, it was at a time when Israel was really at a spiritual peak. Things were going great. Israel had been doing their exercises like I talked about earlier, right? King David at this time, he was an old man who was actually at that point of, he was handing off the baton to his son Solomon. Now, David desired for years to build a temple for the Lord. And if you remember, up to this time, they didn't worship in a temple. They worshiped in a tent, right? Their whole worship to God centered around the tent. And David, his desire was to build a permanent structure to the Lord. But if you remember, because of his sin, God told David he wouldn't be the one that built the temple for the Lord. Instead, it would be his offspring, his son Solomon, that would have this privilege. And so this is where we're at. And now David's calling the nation of Israel together to come alongside and to work with his son Solomon to build the temple, to build the house of the Lord. This scripture is an inspiring story of God's people giving generously for the work of the Lord to build his church. As I read these scriptures, there were actually six things that spoke to me about giving to the local church. Things that I think we need to understand, because I think a lot of times we have different views and opinions on what that means. And so this morning I want to share with you these six things about giving. The first thing I want to share is this. When we give, it's the title of my message. When we give to God, not man. We have to understand that. You see, in verse 1, David says that the work of building the temple was a great work because it wasn't being built for man, but for the worship and glory of God. You see, it's one thing to give your hard-earned money to a man or to a facility, right? But it's a whole different thing to give your money to the Lord. You see, when you give money to the ministry of a local church, you are helping build God's church, or at least that's the idea. I know we live in a world where not everybody's perfect and not every church is perfect. And I know I'm not perfect and our church isn't perfect, all right? But the heart of the church and what the church should be about is giving to help build God's church. Now, the thing we have to realize is that the New Testament church isn't a building. It's not about a structure, right? It's about building the body of Christ, which is the people, building up His people, His kingdom. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you?" No longer is the temple this tent or this physical building. We are the temple. And when we give to the local church, when we give, we partner with God in building a people of faith that glorify Him and seek to extend His kingdom, seek to grow His church, which is people. Grow people in Him. Grow more people for the Lord. We give because the new king, here King David was speaking, but today we give because the new King Jesus invites us to partner with Him in this building of His kingdom, this building of His church. You see, the ministry of Dallas Four Square Church, it's God's work. It's His work. It's His church. It's not something that I dreamt up, because I can guarantee you, I never dreamt up this idea of being a senior pastor. I never dreamt up this idea of planting a church, last thing in the world I ever wanted to do. Now, I'm so thankful for the Lord has used me, and I'm so blessed by this church and this congregation. But it's not something that I dreamt up. This is the Lord's church, and our desire is to fulfill the mission that He gave us, which is to teach others to love God, and to love people so that we continue to extend His kingdom. That's the mission of this church. It's the mission of His church because it is His church. And when you give to the work here at Dallas Four Square Church, as it should be any local church, when you give, you're giving to God, not man. And we have to understand that. We have to trust. And let me just say this. God has appointed pastors and leaders, and they fail and they make mistakes. But we have to trust when God has put people in authority that we give and we trust that they will do what God has called them to do with that, all right? If you give out of obedience and they mess up with your money, it's not your fault. It's theirs, right? So how many of you want to take my place and take the responsibility that I have up here? Anyways, when you give to the work of Dallas Four Square Church, you really are giving to God, not to man. The second thing that spoke to me from this scripture about giving is that when we give, and this is a tough one, it's a reflection of our devotion to God. See, in verse 5, David asks the question, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? David's basically saying here that giving to this project of building the temple was a matter of consecration to God. You see, David's generous gifts came from a consecrated heart. Now, this word consecrate, many of you are out there going, what does that even mean? What is he talking about, right? Well, the word consecrate simply means to set apart for something or to devote yourself to something, right? David was fully devoted to God. And this gift that he gave and the people of Israel gave expressed their devotion to God. You see, I believe if we're truly devoted to the Lord and to the advancement of His kingdom, giving will become a part of who we are in Christ. We will want to give, to give to the Lord, to see His kingdom extended. If we truly love God deeply and are devoted to Him, we'll want to give all that we can to Him, right? Which leads us to ask ourselves a very difficult question. What does my giving say about my devotion to Christ? Because whether we want to believe it or not, our giving is a direct reflection of our devotion to Him. It leads me to the third thing that spoke to me from these scriptures about giving. that when we give, we should give generously. We should give generously. In verses 2 through 5, it tells us of the enormous gifts that David gave for the building of the temple. You can read, I read it there, all the gold, all the silver, all the things that he gave. And then in verse 14, it says this, it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" He points out the generosity of his people, how they didn't just give, they gave generously. And I believe generous giving is biblical. God desires that we would want to give generously to him and to his work. It's a major principle that we find in the New Testament. Let me read you a scripture out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. This is Paul. He wrote Corinthians. He's saying this. He says, "Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Now, what's that saying? He's referring here to the church of Macedonia. And the church of Macedonia was an extremely poor church. Yet, they gave generously. They gave generously. One thing we have to understand is that giving generously has nothing to do with how wealthy we are, right? We can be a millionaire and give a lot of money in our eyes, but it's very stingy in the eyes of the Lord, right? To give generously means to give with an open heart. To give with our hands open. It's yours. It's not just giving out of what we can afford, because that's easy, right? It's giving out of obedience. It's allowing God to stretch us and challenge us to give beyond what we even think at times we can give. It's giving out of love. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about you can be as generous as whatever. You can give all the money in the world, but without love, it means nothing. It's giving out of love. It even goes back to my last point here this morning and our devotion to God. We see this from David in verse 3. He says, "Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures." Right? He had all his treasures as the king and the stuff he gave from his kingdom. But he said, "Now, in my devotion to the temple of my God," and really in devotion to God, "I give my personal treasures of gold, silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple." You see, David's love for God, a man that was after God's own heart, a man who loved God, it prompted him to give even from his own personal treasure. It prompted him to give above and beyond what was even comfortable. His love caused him to give generously. You see, we're always willing to give more to what we love, right? Isn't that true? You know, when you're young, you start dating, right? I remember all my money went to buy flowers and things and stuff, right, for my now wife, right? When you're in love, you'll give so much more. You'll give up things. And it's not just girls either, right? When I was in high school, I loved my 1967 Cougar, right? I worked hard. I bought that myself, put all the money in it to fix it up. And my whole paycheck, you know, other than my 10%, my dad taught me well, went to the Lord, but the rest of it went to my car, right? The things we love, we're willing to give more generously for. See, as we grow in our love for the Lord, I believe we'll grow in our desire to give generously to Him and to His work. When we give, we should give generously out of our love for God. Fourth thing that spoke to me out of these scriptures about giving is that when we give, it should be done willingly. In these scriptures, David places great emphasis on the willingness with which people gave to God in the building of the temple. As a matter of fact, the word willing is used four times here. Actually, from verses 6 through 17, we see it used four times. The end of verse 17, it says, I'm going to read it to you. It says, "And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you," given to God. You see, David and the people of Israel didn't give because they felt guilty. They didn't give because they felt pressured. They didn't give because they needed a tax break, right? They gave out of a sincere desire to the Lord, a sincere desire of their love for Him. The New Testament makes it clear that this is a principle of giving that's important to God. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves," what? "A cheerful giver," a person who gives willingly, right? God doesn't want your offering if you're giving it reluctantly, right? Here, you know, it's that thing where they're trying to pull out the money from your hand and you're holding tightly. No, God doesn't want our offering if we give it reluctantly or if we give it out of guilt. If you notice, we already took the offering this morning. I didn't wait till after my message to take the offering. Okay? This message is not about guilting anyone to give. I've seen that done in churches, okay? And I don't believe that's right. It's not about guilting anyone into giving. It's about teaching godly principles, that heart of teaching, what I talked about, being a teaching church. It's that heart of teaching the godly principles of why we give and God's desire for us to be people who give. It's teaching why we give as a church. You see, God wants us to give willingly and cheerfully out of our love and out of our devotion to Him. Which leads me to the next thing that spoke to me about giving in these scriptures. The fifth thing is this: when we give, we experience His joy. Now, the key to this one, though, is this, is when we give willingly, when we give with the right heart, when we give cheerfully, right? When we give in that way, we experience His joy. David and his people rejoiced greatly after they had given willingly and generously. Listen to verse 9. It says, "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David, the king, also rejoiced greatly." And then in verse 17 it says, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and you are pleased with the integrity." Meaning, you see that we're giving out of love, with a right heart. "All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people are here, who are here, have given to you." And I think it's important to notice David's emphasis on joy. Me and him go way back, Dave. I call him Dave now. He visited me in a dream the other night. No, sorry. It's important to notice David's emphasis on joy here. Joy was a result of having given. Given to the work of the Lord, given with a right heart. I don't believe that we'll ever truly know the joy possible in this life until we learn to give the way that God intended us to give. Because I believe there is a special joy that comes from learning how to give in the way that God's called us to give. He created us. I believe God created us with a need to give. And many of us don't realize that. And so when we give, when we do what He's created us to do, it brings joy to our lives. We experience that joy of giving. And Jesus taught this in His preaching. Acts 20. Verse 35, it says that Jesus Himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. He tells us that when we give, we'll receive more joy from giving than when we get. Now, I've seen this in my own life. Now, I'll be honest to you, okay? I used to be a pretty selfish guy, all right? I spent all my money on myself, my car, my 67 Cougar, all my money on whatever I wanted, right? I used to be a pretty selfish guy, and I'm still growing in this area. Don't think I've arrived or I'm there. My wife can attest to that, okay? I still have selfish sides of me, but I'm growing. I'm learning, and I used to be a lot more selfish. But it's interesting, having kids changed this in my life. I'm serious. It's interesting. Having kids changed my life when it comes to this area of selfishness. See, after having kids, I found myself spending my own money. My wife and I, you know, we take allowances. This is your money to blow, this is my money to blow, you know, and then we've got our money to pay bills, all that kind of stuff. And so we have an allowance. And it was interesting because when I first started having kids, you know, especially when my son, you know, got old enough, he liked sports stuff or Star Wars stuff, you know, and I'm getting, you know, all these things, I'm like, ooh, Toby would love, and I'd spend my money on my kids. And I realized I enjoyed that more than spending money on myself. It was this interesting thing of realizing how wonderful it is to be able to give to others. And my kids taught me that. Now, I still need to improve in that, but I'm learning beyond my kids. It's not just with my kids. It's with anyone that I give to. It brings joy. I've discovered that some of the happiest people I know are often some of the most generous givers. It's crazy. It's interesting. You're like, wow, man, they just seem so... And then I watch them and I realize that they are people who continuously give and just give willingly to others. I've also found the opposite to be true as well, right? Some of the most unhappy people that I know are some of the most selfish when it comes to their giving and their money and their things. If we want to be people who experience true joy in our lives, then we need to be unselfish givers who give with a right heart. And then the final thing that stood out to me about giving in these scriptures is probably, I think, one of the most important things for us to understand, which is this. When we give, we're giving God what was His to begin with. We're giving God what's His to begin with. Listen to what David says in verse 14. Everything comes from You, and we have given You only what comes from Your hand. We're just giving You back what You've given us, right? And then in verse 16, he says, O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building You a temple for Your holy name, it comes from Your hand. It all belongs to You. In these two scriptures, David really makes two key points. The first is that everything we have comes from God. Everything we have comes from God. The reality is we would have nothing, no money, no possessions, no family, no health, no life, if God hadn't given it to us. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Every good and perfect gift is from God. Everything we have comes from Him. And Deuteronomy 8:17-18. Deuteronomy 8:17-18 says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Right? How many people say, oh, I did this myself. I built this with my own. I did this. It's because of me, right? We pointed to ourselves. But he says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. The truth is, there is no such thing as a self-made person. There's no such thing. Our ability to make a living, our ability to live, is directly a gift from God. Everything we own, our house, our car, our jewelry, our TV, you name it, came from God. He is the source of all of our possessions. And it's important that we understand that. You see, when we give to God, we're simply giving back those things that He gave to us first. So think about this. How ungrateful are we when we're unwilling to give God something that He gave us in the first place? That's a tough one, huh? It's like, ugh. Let me give you an example. It'd be like buying my kids, buying Toby or Emma, right? A bag of M&Ms. Right? We go to the store, I buy Toby a bag of M&Ms. And I say, hey, Toby, can I just have a couple? Right? He's like, no. These are my M&Ms. Get your own bag. Right? I just bought them for you, so they're mine now. Now, my son wouldn't do that. He's so kind and wonderful. He would give me, if I asked for two, he would give me three. That's the way he is. But I know it's kind of a childish response, but the reality, that's a perfect example of how we are with what God gives us. We have to realize anything we have has been given to us by God. And then the second key point, which is the most important that David makes in these verses, is that everything we have not only came from God, it still belongs to God. It's His. We're simply called to steward what He's given us. You see, a steward is someone who manages the resources of another. Why? To accomplish the goals of the owner, the person that owns it. You manage it and take care of it, and you do what he wants with the money. Since everything you have came from God and belongs to God, the reality is we don't have the right to deny God whatever he may ask from us. Now, I think the problem is a lot of times we don't ask, right? And I think that's important. It's important that we ask, Lord, what is it that you want me to give? How do you want me to give? And that we're obedient to what he asks of us. I want to give you another example here of this. Imagine, I'm going to use Toby again. Imagine when Toby turns 16. I buy him a 1967 Cougar, just like his dad had back in high school, right? That's what he wants. He's seen pictures of my car, and he's like, I want a 67 Cougar, Dad. So let's say I buy Toby this 67 Cougar, right? And I buy it for him to drive. I pay for the gas. I pay the insurance, which my dad didn't do that. My dad made me pay for insurance. My dad made me pay for gas. All those things. If you're going to have it, you're going to take care of it yourself. But let's say I do this. I pay the gas. I pay the insurance. I cover the cost of repairs and maintenance. And I let him drive it to school and places. But then one Friday night, I want to take my wife out on a date, right? And so I tell Toby, hey, I'm going to use the car on Friday night. But he says, you can't, Dad. It's my car. I got other plans for it that night, right? Now, again, this sounds far-fetched, but it's no different than how we act with the Lord. How when he says, hey, okay, I want some of that which I've given you. It's mine to begin with. I want you to give it here so I can use it to build my kingdom, to do great things. And we say, no, I've got other plans for it. I got this nice big screen TV I'm getting for the Super Bowl. It's going to be awesome. All my friends are going to come over. It's going to be great, right? It is. It seems like a far-fetched illustration, but it's so similar to how we really are with the things that God has given us. When we come to the realization that it's God's in the first place, it becomes easier for us to give it away. Maybe you were here, I don't remember, it was probably about 3 or 4 months ago, and Lane Passe, who has moved now, was here, and I did a little illustration where I said, hey, does anybody got a $100 bill, right? And Lane said, oh yeah, I got one, right? And I took it from him, and I said, oh, thanks, man, we need money for our youth. I said, can I have this? And he's like, yeah, sure, right? And so I use that as an illustration. Everyone's like, what? You're just taking money from him? But the reality is, I gave him that $100 before the service. And I said, hey, when I ask for $100, I just want you to give it to me. And it's a perfect example. He was able, he just easily was like, okay, yeah, here. Because why? It wasn't his to begin with. And that's the reality. When we come to the realization that it's God's in the first place, it becomes easier for us to give it away. Yeah, here. Oh, thank you. Oh, here. Yeah, it wasn't even mine to begin with. God wants us to hold with our hands open, not closed. You see, proper stewardship when it comes to giving is simply our loving response to all that God has blessed us with. God blesses us so that we can bless others. When we look at these scriptures, we realize giving is far more than just churches asking for money, right? It's far more than just giving the least amount that we can get away with giving, right? It's like I get those questions to the pastor. Do I have to really give this amount? Is that off the net or is that off the gross? You know, and we're just looking for these loopholes to give as little as possible. Giving is understanding a godly principle that God himself demonstrated for us as he gave us his son on the cross. He gave us all that he was. And I can share this message on giving today without apologizing about talking about money in church. Because a lot of pastors, they won't. I don't want to go there. When I first started, I actually had a pastor friend of mine say to me, as we were talking about things, about giving and stuff, and he said, Darren, I want to tell you one thing. Don't ever apologize. When God puts it on your heart to speak about giving in the church, don't ever apologize for speaking about something that Jesus himself said many times throughout the scripture that we need to learn how to do, how to give. And so I don't apologize this morning. And the reason is because we wouldn't ask you to do something that we don't do ourselves. We as a church here, we give. We're a generous church. This isn't a plea for money this morning. A lot of people, when they hear message, oh, great, the church is struggling. They're going to ask us for money. Here, let me just get on my wallet now, right? This isn't a plea for money. The church is not struggling financially. As a matter of fact, we are in the best place financially that this church has been since we started. And I believe that's a result of a great church council and church leadership that has said from the very beginning, it's not our church, it's God's church. And we're going to listen to him. And we're going to be good stewards of what he's given us. We are, as a church, I believe, at a really exciting place. We've seen astronomical growth over this last year, and I'm going to explain that here in a minute. And it's because of faithful people that are partnering with God and his mission to extend his kingdom through giving. Let me just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I just I thank you for this morning. A lot of stuff, a lot of information, but good stuff, Lord. It's amazing what you're doing in our church. And Lord, we want to be a church that's giving. We want to be a church that, Lord, holds our finances with our hands open. Lord, that we know it's not ours, it's yours. Everything we have, you've given us. Everything we have is yours, Lord. And so we want to be faithful to be good stewards of what you've given us. And Lord, I pray that just for each of us as individuals, Lord, that we would come to that realization that what we have on this earth is not ours, it's yours. And anything you've given us, Lord, to bless others. Lord, you've given us to be a blessing to those around us, Lord. And so may we be givers, Lord, people who give with a cheerful heart to see your kingdom extended in and around this community, Lord. And so we thank you for these things. We just give them to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.